smoke. Dangerous curve. I was startled at the whim when alone, but it's too late now, cause I think I'm gone. I got myself into this fix just because I tried to mix diesel smoke. Dangerous curve. Diesel smoke. Dangerous curve.
You know, on this 4th of July weekend here, there's nothing more American than the American truck driver.
Burning that diesel, snatching them gears.
Like a stick of butter in a low-fat world. This is Chris and Rob on WAIF.
Speaking of the world, Chris, as things are gone crazy, things have gone kablooey. We used to think that the breeding ground for these crazy Muslim terrorists, these guys who hate the Jews, the guys who hate the Christians, the guys who hate the Hindus, the guys that hate the Confucians.
They pretty much hate everybody.
They want to kill all the infidels, all the non-believers. They want to kill them all. Kill them all. Kill them all. Kill them all. And let Allah sort it out. They used to think that these cats are always from, like, the poor part of town, and they were stupid. Because, you know, let's face it, who are the guys that really go hardcore? If you don't believe the way I do, I'm gonna beat you up.
Usually rednecks.
Those guys are stupid.
They're stupid rednecks.
These are like Muslim rednecks.
Right.
They're the rednecks of the Muslim world. And
right.
If you don't worship Allah the way they think you should worship Allah, they think you should die. And they, whether you're a Jew or a Hindu or Christian or Sikh or whatever. But now in England, these cats who are trying to blow up airports and are dropping off car bombs, these guys are physicians, a couple of them. A couple of them are medical doctors. You generally don't think of medical doctors as being rednecks, do you? Don't you generally think, you know, in America we have hundreds of thousands, probably, of Middle Eastern physicians.
Right, and some Indian ones, too.
You can make a ton of money if you're a doctor in America.
Right.
You can make a buttload of money. And we have the best schools here, the best teachers, and you can buy some bitchin' cars. You ain't got to ride a goat to class. You don't have to take a cow to your practice. We have Starbucks. We have Fi. We have the Apple phone. That's why people love America. So all the doctors want to come here. So England's probably thinking the same thing. Sure, we'll let the Muslim doctors in. Let's let the Muslim doctors in because they're doctors. They're smart. And they turn out to be rednecks. What the hell is this all about? It's one thing to screen out all the rednecks from coming into your country. But it's going to be a complete other thing if you got to start screening out doctors.
So what's your point?
The point is the ground is getting more slippery. We used to think that all the...
The ice is getting cracked.
All the terrorists were rednecks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out, well, some of them...
You mean the rednecks of the country they're from.
Right. Yeah. You got your Pakistani, your Saudi, and your Iraqi, and your Afghan, and your Jordanian rednecks. These dudes that grow up in a trailer park, their mom's pregnant, they all have dirty feet. Their dad has a prison tattoo.
They all smell like camels.
And it spelled his name wrong.
Right.
Dude has a mullet.
Well, whatever the equivalent of a mullet is in a Middle Eastern country.
Well, they wear that tablecloth thing on their head, so you can't tell if they got a mullet or not. Because that's almost like a mullet hat.
It is.
It's like a cloth mullet.
Or it's almost like a John Deere baseball hat for them.
Exactly. And so you think, well, that dude says, Dello.
I'd like
to come into your country. Well, you know, why? Well, because things around a trailer park are getting kind of boring, and I'd really like to blow up some people for Allah. No, you stay out. Stay out. Stay the hell out. But now these guys are saying, Dello.
Dello.
I'd like to come to your country. And you say, why? And you say, well, because I'm a physician. I'm a healer. And, you know, every country's going to think, oh, man, a good doctor. Look at his grades. This guy went to Harvard Medical School. He got good grades. He's a doctor. Let's let him in. And then he's a nut.
Right.
He wants to blow you up because you're Jewish or because you're Christian or something. I think, man, it's getting worse. It's getting harder. It's going to be harder and harder and harder and harder to tell the good guys from the bad guys. Because if you got doctors, who would ever thought a doctor would be a terrorist? Because a doctor, don't you got to take that oath? What's the oath?
It's called the Hippocratic Oath.
And isn't the first do no harm? Isn't that the first first tenet of the Hippocratic Oath?
Harm. That apparently doesn't apply to Kevorkian, though.
Was he actually a medical doctor?
Wasn't he? I think he was.
Or was he like a PhD in chemistry?
Look it up on Wikipedia on your iPhone, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. And then we'll find out he also hit 342 for the Boston Braves in 1928.
That's a different Kevorkian.
Oh.
That's Billy Kevorkian.
They haven't fixed that part yet.
Right.
First, do no harm. He didn't think he was doing harm, though. He thought he was doing good. But when you're parking a truck full of explosives, when you're driving a fiery car into the airport in Scotland, don't you think you're doing harm? I think it's getting weird, man. I think it's getting weird. The whole idea of a doctor, of a dude who went to college for 10 years, 12 years. How long you got to go to college to be a doctor?
Long time.
And you didn't get any learning? How do you spend 10 years on a college campus and surrounded by other smart people and not get no learnings? You're still one of these guys that think, if you don't believe the way I do, then you deserve to die.
You spent a lot of time in institutes of higher education. You didn't learn jack.
I learned that if you want to worship Allah and I don't, that doesn't mean I have to kill you.
I thought
which is like the dumbest thing in the world.
I thought the only thing you learned in college was how to tap a keg.
I never learned that.
Still can't do, by the
way. I'm not very good at that.
Somebody asked me to tap a keg a few weeks ago, and I couldn't do it. I had to ask some dude to help me.
Well, I think it's easier now. You just like shove it in and start screwing.
I had to ask some dude that was like the big party guy.
But now it's crazy. It's getting worse.
Speaking of the West Side and speaking of people who don't have no education, we've got a phone call from the West Side of Cincinnati. Hello, John from Cheviot, a regular caller to the show. Welcome back to the Chris and Rob Show.
Yeah, Chris and Rob, man, I heard you guys talking about them terrorists and calling them rednecks, man. Before I kind of beef with you about that, man, what is a mullet?
A mullet is when you got more hair in the back than you do in the front, but you're not so old that you're bald.
How'd you know about that, man?
Because I had one in 1983, but I grew out of it.
And you call that a mullet? Why is it called that?
Michael Bolton is a real good example. Would you agree with me, Rob? Would Michael Bolton be a good place to start this conversation?
I think most people say the very first mullet.
It was Michael Bolton?
David Bowie's Ziggy Stardust.
Oh, yeah, but that was cool back then.
Yeah, he was kind of fairy, though.
Well, he was Bowie, and he was cool, and Spiders from Mars.
He ain't no redneck, man. David Bowie don't drive a pickup truck.
No, but so where would you, Rob, who would you say would be the first redneck with a mullet?
Well, I think
would it be
Billy
Michael
Ray
Bolton?
Cyrus may not have invented the mullet, but he perfected the mullet. Travis Tritt may not have invented the mullet, but he perfected the mullet.
Who was the first one to really come out with one, not counting glam rock guys, not counting Bowie or Mark Bolan? Who was like the first guy that actually had one that was truly a redneck?
The Hamilton High class of 1981?
What about BTO, man?
Did BTO have mullets?
I don't think they did. They were like,
there's a couple of websites you can access on your new iPhone and find out, you know, who had old school mullets.
I don't know, man. What you calling terrorists a redneck for, man? That's insulting.
That is an insult to rednecks across the world, isn't it? Look up mullet on Wikipedia. See what comes up.
Fish.
The
Missouri Compromise.
It's there.
Thought that was a fish or something, man. Talking about having fish on your head. Does the hair look like fish?
Yeah.
The Mullets are a punk rock band from Kentucky.
Oh, really? I never heard of them.
Yeah.
What part of Kentucky?
Well, they ain't no rednecks.
You never know. If they're from Kentucky, they might be.
No, not everybody down there.
You're right. There's Bowie. Okay, we pulled up the Wikipedia page on mullets here, and there is a picture of Bowie.
Oh, there's a skullet.
A skullet is when you're bald, but you got long hair in the back.
There's a tropical mullet.
Oh, we got a guy down the roads like that, man. Rides a Harley.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All them Harley guys are bald now.
Remember, Rob's got guys
that used to ride Harleys all had long hair? Now all the guys ride Harleys are bald.
Okay, hold on, John from Chevy.
What the hell?
Rob's got a list.
Like
of some of the world's most famous mullets, and boy, there's a lot of them. Why don't you give us just a few highlights?
Well, Travis Tritt.
Yeah.
Mitch Williams. Remember him? He gave up the home run that ended the World Series against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the wild thing had him all. Steve Perry of Journey.
Yeah, man. They rock.
John Kruk had a... Richard Marks, another classic mullet. Richard Marks.
Chuck Norris is on that list. You know, Chuck Norris counted to infinity.
Yeah, good guys wear black.
Shut up, John. Chuck Norris counted to infinity twice.
He doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth down.
Right. You know, Chuck Norris isn't hung like a horse. Horses are hung like Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris, he can kick some ass.
That's right. Is this all you want, John? You just want to waste our time tonight, or do you have something to offer?
Bono had a fantastic mullet.
I'm trying to contribute, man. You're talking about rednecks, Curtis and terrorists, and like fish, and now you're talking about Bowie.
Do you have anything to offer the show, John, or just more of the same?
What do you want?
There's your Michael Bolton.
Can you recite all the words to that Skynyrd song?
Oh, man. I ain't been drinking tonight.
Okay, I'll see you later, John. Thanks for your call.
All right, man, later.
Okay. That's John from Chevy. He calls us every week and wastes our time, and tonight appears to be no different. 513-749-1444. 513-7491-444. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
That's us.
Chris, you know, generally, I'm a big fan of the American Civil Liberties Union.
Generally?
Yeah, usually.
That's the ACLU?
ACLU.
Well, you know, the right wing hates the ACLU. And I don't know, it's kind of like the kind of hatred you have for, like, somebody at school who's more successful than you, and you just hate them just because, you know, it seems like the right wingers and the conservatives and the Republicans hate the ACLU to a degree that exceeds the amount of hate that they deserve. And they don't deserve much hate. They deserve very little hate. And they mostly deserve applaud for sticking up for the rights of common everyday Americans. But the right really hates them. And I've never really quite figured this one out. I know it's because the ACLU will stick up for the underprivileged, you know, minorities and homosexuals and people who don't, like, fit in with the norm, the right-wing definition of the norm. But that's what they're there for.
That's what I think. I think mostly what the ACLU does is good work. They actually try to protect the civil liberties of people whose civil liberties are at risk.
But every now and then, the ACLU does go astray, don't they?
Oh, my God. In Slidell, Louisiana, they're going to sue the city of Slidell because there's a painting of Jesus hanging in a courthouse lobby.
Well, now, that's ridiculous. Let a painting of Jesus be a painting
of
Jesus.
Dude, ACLU should not be involved in interior decorating.
No, they should not.
If the people of Slidell, Louisiana, it's not as if the judge on the bench is saying, I prayed about this, and Jesus told me to send your Arab butt to jail for as long as possible. Then I think you got a lawsuit. If the judges are bringing up the name of Jesus or Allah, if some Muslim dude becomes judge and he says, Dello, Allah told me to send you to jail, then you can sue. If a Jewish guy says, I consulted the Torah and I'm going to send you to jail, then you can maybe sue. Mm-hmm. If you got a Christian guy reading the Bible in court and saying, well, it says here that I get to cut off your hand.
Cool.
Then you can sue. But just because there's a picture of Jesus hanging in the lobby, I don't think you should go around suing. This is what Fox News will take this, and they'll do 3 weeks on this.
You know, this will give some ammunition to the right wing against the ACLU, which they don't need any more than they've already got. Because, you know, like you were saying, 80% of the time the ACLU does good work, sticking up for minorities, underprivileged people who have their rights seriously threatened. But come on, ACLU people, don't give the right anything to work with, all right? Let's just be cool, everybody.
The ACLU sued the Slidell City Court because the portrait and image of Jesus presenting the New Testament is a religious icon of the Eastern Orthodox branch of Christianity. We did not file this lawsuit because the ACLU is anti-religion. See, that's the right wing always just paints these guys as hating God. We did file this lawsuit because we believe this display is clearly in violation of the law. Is the law of good taste? Or is there actually a law that says what you can and cannot hang in courtrooms? I don't think the ACLU should be involved in interior decorating. And if it's coming from the bench, hey, dude, hey, dude, the Bible told me to punish you in this manner, then it's a problem. Hey, man, the Quran told me to punish you in this manner, then it's a problem. Then it's a problem! But if it's just a picture of Jesus hanging in the lobby of a court, oh my gosh, how much is that going to cost? Leave the people slide out of Louisiana alone.
This is the Chris and Rob Show, and you can give us a call at 513-749-1444. That's 513-749-1444. It's time for the Clinch Mountain Boys. You ready?
It's Clinch.
Jesus Savior, pilot me. Jesus Savior, pilot me over life's impetuous sea.
German and French AWACS over us, British AWACS. We do have 56 Norwegian aircraft, and now they've announced foreign troops and a UN takeover of Southern California with our troops, as well as Nevada. And this is, I've got about 20 reports today, just so much documentation. And in one of these reports on Infowars.com, like, I'm going to dig it out and read it. One of these multiple reports we've got posted, we posted about five of the Homeland Security ones in the end of Posse Comitatus. Read carefully. The senator in there says, we're not going to let the troops arrest you. They're just going to kill you. I mean, they actually say it. The troops, if they identify an enemy target, will just kill terrorists. So we're going to have NORTHCOM with an enemy combatant designation to seek and destroy with hunter-killer teams, as I warned you. Hunter-killer teams operating domestically.
Happy 4th of July, and look out for those domestic hunter-killer teams. They're coming for you and your family.
Nothing like a team of hunter-killers. One or two hunter-killers we can handle, but a whole team of hunter-killers.
This is a Chris and Rob Show, 513-749-1444. We got about a half hour to go before the Outside Inside Jazz program with Lee Harvey, the best jazz DJ you will ever hear in your life. So stay tuned for that tonight at midnight. But we got about a half hour left to take your calls at 513-749-1444. We want to know for the last half hour, we want to know the best place to get fireworks and the best kind of fireworks to get. And we want to keep it legal. But if you want to talk about something illegal, you can do that at your own risk. We won't condone it, but we will happily encourage it. All right. 513-749-1444. It's a 4th of July on WAIF, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Chris, what would you do if you found 20K?
20K what?
20 G's.
You mean money?
20 large, as the mob says.
If I found some money?
20 large.
I would invest it wisely. I wouldn't tell anyone I had it, and I would live off of it for the rest of my life.
$20,000.
Yeah.
You're a pretty good investor.
What would you do with it?
I'd return it.
Well, if I didn't know whose it was.
This lady in Phoenix, Arizona. She pulled into her, and she works at a grocery store, dude.
Right.
So she's not rich.
See, now you didn't tell me that. When you asked me that hypothetical question, you didn't say it belonged to somebody.
Dude, everything belongs to somebody. You think?
Everything. You know, the American Indians didn't believe in property ownership. They thought that the world belonged to the Great Spirit.
Every American, not of all the different various and sundry tribes, all the different kinds of tribes we had, from the nomads to the farmers, none of those American Indians believed in property ownership.
Right.
None of them.
Right.
All the different tribes.
Right.
All the tribes agreed on this.
Right.
They hated each other and they fought wars with each other, but they were ideologically linked by the fact that there was no property ownership.
Right. So which made it really hard to buy and sell a house.
There would be no closing costs.
Right, but you could just take your teepee down and move down to the next street.
You are so offensive.
Down the street, we go get more fish, down by the river,
I don't think that many Indians, lived in teepees, except for the ones out west in the warm states.
Well, those are the ones I'm talking about.
I think the ones like in upper New York.
What,
in
they
Maine.
Lived in condos? They lived in condos and townhouses?
What do you think? They just lived in a tent?
Well, they lived in the woods.
There's 4 feet of snow.
They didn't have condos and townhouses and apartment complexes back then. They didn't have Section 8 housing back then.
And what became, like, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan or something? Those guys were just pitching a teepee.
Well, I don't know what they lived in, but they didn't live in a house made out of bricks and mortar.
And I guess so. They ran around in just a loincloth, too. They didn't even wear shirts.
I saw this in the museum. They had, like, the big bear skin that they'd wrap around themselves.
Because they couldn't sew?
Right. I saw it in the museum. I don't know, man. All I know is... Where are you going with this?
I just
this?
Don't think that the Indians will run around naked in winter.
Well, where are you going with this? What? Some lady found 20,000 G's. What did she do with it?
And she said it belongs to no one. Ugh.
No, she didn't.
No, she
apparently returned it to her owner.
She went to a bank drive-thru, which I don't like to use the bank drive. I like to go in and make eye contact with the bank lady.
Right. Me too. I don't like the bank drive-thru
because I don't trust the tube.
Right.
And I know you're not going to get your license back.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're not going to have a pin in the tube, and you're going to have to send it in. I need a pin.
And do you know how many dog biscuits have been in that tube?
Or you're going to use your own pin, and then you're going to give them your pin.
Right.
Which is a facing, because banks are here to give you pins.
Have you ever left with the tube and taken the tube with you?
No, I've never I've never put a dog biscuit in the tube either.
I did that once because I wanted to meet the girl who was the teller. So I took the tube, and then I used it as an excuse to come back. It didn't work, though.
Well, you came into the bank then? You went to the bank? Hi, I'm the guy from line three. Perhaps you remember me. I'm the guy that stole your tube.
Yeah, a week later, she was dating one of my best friends. So it didn't work. It was a nice try.
Did you introduce them? Or did this just happen to be a coincidence?
It just happened to be a coincidence in a very small town with the initials BG, all right?
I didn't know they had pneumatics in the 80s.
Down the street, yeah. They had one upscale bank down the street.
I didn't know they had a bank.
All right, let's get back to this lady with $20,000. Where did it come from? Who lost it? How do you lose $20,000?
So is your friend on a date with this broad, and you walk in to meet him for dinner or drinks or whatever, and she's like, oh, it's the dude with the tube.
We're not going there anymore. We're done with that straight into the conversation.
It's the dude with the tube.
Do you want to talk about the lady with the money, or do you want me to play another song?
I'm trying to conduct a talk show in an intelligent and efficient manner.
Well, then start talking, bonehead.
I have been talking in an engaging, articulate manner.
No, you have not.
One that is very compelling to the listener.
You've not been making very much sense.
The listener would love to consume this audio on various and sundry platform devices.
You would like to consume a couple of pizzas and a big giant hoagie.
Content platforms is what the consumer would like to consume.
I think you'd just like to consume as many milkshakes as you can get.
Oh, I haven't had a milkshake in a while. I like the Malto.
You want to go get a milkshake after the radio show?
I got to go to bed.
Who sells a milkshake this late at night? There's a good question for our listeners. Who sells a milkshake this late at night? We'll get one on the way home.
And will your milkshake bring all the boys to the yard?
Yeah, 513. Look, it's already ringing. Let's just hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think Wendy's sells milkshakes.
No, dude, those
no, Frosties don't count.
Ah, what is that?
Frosties don't count. That's not real. It's got to be a milkshake.
I've never been
milk has to be in the name of the product. If it's called a shake, it's made out of plastic and styrofoam. Yeah, Frosties don't count. It's got to be a milkshake. If anybody knows where we can get a milkshake at midnight on a Tuesday night, the night before the 4th of July, let me know. 513-749-1444 is the phone number. And fast food doesn't count. It's got to be a milkshake with ice cream and milk and chocolate syrup and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, cheese fries.
No, we can get some cheese fries with that milkshake.
You know what's really good is you take your fries.
Hey, at the Steak and Shake, do they use real milk?
I think Steak and Shake is real.
Maybe we could go there.
You know, you're going to be there for an hour and a half. If it's 2 in the afternoon and there's nobody there,
you're gonna
it's
be
still going
to
take an hour and a half. Yeah. You know what's good, though, is you take your fries.
It's called the Wait and Shake.
And instead of dipping your fries in ketchup,
mm-hmm.
you dip your fries into your malt. Thank me later,
good.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy,
so this lady pulled into the bank tube.
Yeah.
And inside, well, she pulled into the bank drive-through, and inside the tube that was sitting there, $20,000.
Cool. You can't take money lost in a bank because it's still property of the bank. You can get in trouble for that.
She got all nervous. She thought she was in the middle of an armed robbery.
Mm-hmm.
She got all freaked out. And then she walked in, and she gave the money to the teller, and the teller's like, what is that? Do you want an ink pen? They didn't know, so then I had to call the cops. They don't know whose money it is. You would think if you lost $20,000, you'd go back to the bank. Hey, did somebody report some money missing? It's Chris and Rob, WAIF. Hello, Roland.
Hello, fellas.
What do you want, Roland?
You guys going to be playing any Lee Greenwood tonight?
Maybe. What do you want, Roland?
I'd really like to hear God Bless the America or God Bless the USA.
Because it's the 4th of July and you're proud to be an American?
No, I just really like that song.
Okay.
You know what I love about America? We have oceans. We have mountains. We have wheat.
Yes.
What the hell else you need?
From the hills of West Texas to the plains of Tennessee.
And we got dead veterans.
We need to salute them.
Anything else, Roland?
No, just play Lee Greenwood, please.
Okay, thanks
more
for your call.
Lee Greenwood.
You know, since the last caller just mentioned Wendy's and the Frosty, I think now would be a great time to pay homage to our friend Dave Purcell. Did you hear about Dave? Did you hear about our friend Dave Purcell?
I heard news about Dave Purcell, and I also heard news about Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas. Yeah, that's right. Dave Thomas got married. And Dave Purcell's leaving town.
I thought Dave Thomas died like a year ago.
This is a different Dave Thomas.
This is the Doug McKenzie Dave Thomas?
No, I'm talking about Dave Thomas that works for Comair.
Dave Thomas that works for Comair?
He works on the baggage line, you know, where they take your bags and put them on the plane.
Who the hell knows who he is?
Well, he's a friend of mine. He got married a couple weeks ago.
Well, congratulations. Why don't we call him?
I don't have his number with me.
He's a smart guy.
He's unlisted, too.
He's a smart guy, and he's a good friend of yours.
But did you hear about Dave Purcell, who's not only a good friend of yours and mine, but he's also a good friend of our listening audience?
I didn't know we were supposed to broadcast.
Do we have Dave's phone number around here anywhere?
He's being weak.
What do you mean he's being weak?
Akron?
Yeah, he's moving to Akron.
Kent State?
He's leaving town to move to Akron. Dave is a longtime contributor to the Chris and Rob Show. We love Dave Purcell. His band is called Pike 27. Maybe some of you have seen them at a local drinking establishment playing some folk rock. They got the folk rock sound like the Birds. And so Dave Purcell, and some of you listening tonight may know Dave, or if you do, tell him that Chris and Rob are going to pay homage to him right now. We've got the Wendy's Fryer Crank Call from about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer ago than that. Dave came down to the show one night. We started making crank calls. And this was a brilliant crank call. This is Dave placing the call, our good friend Dave Purcell. And he's calling the Wendy's restaurant, the one in downtown Las Vegas with all the neon lights.
So when he's a professor at Kent State, and if one of his kids is ever like, "Professor Purcell, quit hassling me because I know what you did 4 years right. ago on a radio."
So this here we go. Everybody, like, if you're listening right now, sit down, take a smoke of your bud, take a drink of your whiskey, because this is a good one. This is Dave. This is Dave Purcell making a crank call to the Las Vegas Wendy's restaurant. Here you go.
Hello.
Hello. Is this the Wendy's in Las Vegas?
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. I'm at the Wendy's in Cincinnati.
Sure.
My name's Bob Jensen. I'm the assistant manager here. Have you ever been in the Wendy's in Cincinnati?
I've never even been to Cincinnati.
Why not?
Well, because I live in Las Vegas.
Oh, I see. Have you been?
Don't get away.
Have you been east of the Mississippi River?
Yeah, I used to live in Georgia.
Really?
Yeah.
Then you didn't come to Cincinnati when you were in Georgia.
Where is Cincinnati located?
It's in Ohio.
Oh no, I've never been to Ohio State.
Holy cow! Really? It's right on the border of Ohio and Kentucky. You know where Kentucky is, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Have you ever been in Kentucky?
Yes, I have.
Where at? Whereabouts?
Lexington.
Lexington rocks. Did you go see a UK beat the crap out of the Georgia Bulldogs?
No. May I ask who this is?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. My name's Bob Jensen. I'm at the Wendy's in Cincinnati. I'm actually calling you with a technical question because I got this fryer all fouled up, and I have no idea what to do.
How come? Do you guys don't have any stores out there?
They're all closed. 9/11 kind of thing. Cincinnati's really heavy on the 9/11 thing.
So you just, how'd you find our number here?
I just looked in the big company directory.
Oh, really? You dialed store one, Las Vegas, huh?
Right.
Because we're like a franchise, too.
That was the first number I saw, so I just called it. I thought I'm going to run up some long distance.
Okay, so what's wrong with your fryer?
It's stuck. It's stuck on, like, I can't turn it down.
Well, you need to shut it off.
I can't. I can't find the shut-off switch.
You need to unplug it.
I can't, well, there's no, the way our fryer is, they build it into the sort of back end. So
you know what you're going to have to do is call your maintenance department.
Oh, I don't know the number.
Well, then you have to call your district manager or something.
Oh, shoot, man. Is there like a, there's not a, like, toll-free, I'm new at this. Is there like a toll-free number I can call?
I don't work for Wendy's International.
Oh, shoot. I mean,
for Cedar Enterprises.
I'm telling you, this thing is boiling, this is bubbling.
Well, you need
and
to unplug it.
But see, I can't reach the plug, though. Is there like a,
don't ask me, I'm all the way across the country.
I know, but we are brothers in arms here. You got to help me. You are a fellow Wendy's.
You're just going to have to unplug it. You have to reach back there and unplug it.
I'll burn myself.
Are you going to burn your store down?
I'm going to burn myself, though. This is critical.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if my fryer was doing that, I'd have to pull the vat out and unplug it. Other than that, I don't know any other answer for you. If you turn off the breaker, you're not going to have any fryers.
And that would be bad. That would be bad, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God.
I'm really stuck, I'm telling you.
Eddie, will you take this call, please?
You can ask her, what if you dump a bunch of ice in it?
I'd like for you to take
the. You can cool it down.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Everybody relax. Here comes Eddie.
Hello?
Hey, is this Eddie? Hello? Eddie, this is, I'm Bob Jensen. I'm at the Cincinnati, the Norwood Wendy's, and my fryer is stuck on high, and I can't unplug it. And I can't find anything to turn this daggone thing on.
You can't unplug it?
No, the way they put it in is they cover the plug up in the back, so I can't reach it. And I think if I try to move it, I'll burn myself. And this thing is bubbling and burning. It's crazy. It's out of control. You have any idea what I can do?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying, man.
You for real, huh?
I'm for real, bro. I'm stuck. This thing is bubbling. I mean, there's nobody in the store right now, but this thing is going crazy. And I don't want to burn myself. What's her face there was saying I was going to burn the store down?
Okay. What you need to do is turn the breakers off.
Turn the breakers off. Where are they at?
Find the breakers for the burners and
okay.
Turn them off.
Do you have any idea where they might... I just started 3 days ago. I'm in this store by myself.
I'm sorry?
I just started 3 days ago, and I am in this store by myself. Do you have any idea where the breakers...
This is what you do.
Okay.
Find the breaker box.
Okay.
You know where that is?
No, I don't. Where
okay, you have to find the breaker box. It should be... It should be in the office or something, okay?
Oh, man, there it goes. Oh, God. Man, it's the wall's on fire.
Say it again?
The wall is on fire, dude. My freaking wall is on fire.
Your wall's on fire?
I should probably, like, call 911 or something, you think?
Yeah, right now you should.
Do you know, how do you know, did you just dial 911, or what do you do? Do you got to, like, dial 9 to get out?
I'm sorry?
Do you have to dial, like, 9 to get out, or what do? You just...
Oh, boy.
I don't know how to... Oh, boy is right, man. My wall's on fire. Dude, this is tragic.
911.
Now 911.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta go, bro.
Okay.
I'll see
bye-bye.
You, man. Thanks.
Eddie was ready to get to the bottom of it all.
In case you just tuned in, our guest tonight on the Chris and Rob show is Dave Purcell from Pike 27. He showed up playing acoustic guitar and singing some songs, and now we're making crank calls.
And there you go. That's the famous Dave Purcell crank call to the Las Vegas Wendy's. And
we're really big on 9/11 stuff around here.
Yeah, we are. If you're a friend of Dave's or if you know Dave, tell him that Chris and Rob said goodbye. Have a safe trip to Akron. We'll miss you here in town. And I hope the fumes from the rubber plant don't make you infertile.
NBG is going to stomp Kent State repeatedly.
Right. Let's see, it's about 14 minutes until midnight, and then the jazz show will be here. And here's what I wanted to do next.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, what did you want to do next?
Well, I wanted to talk about one of our favorite cities in Ohio, Toledo.
What about Toledo?
Well, you know they have that mayor, Cardi Finkelbeiner.
Not anymore. They got a different mayor now.
But his memory still lingers on.
Right. He's the one that said they should put all the deaf people by the airport.
Because the noise wouldn't bother them.
Right.
Let's build a whole community of, let's segregate the deaf people.
Right. That's what the mayor of Toledo suggested that, what, 8 or 10 years ago?
Well, let's segregate all the deaf people. Let's shut them off from the rest of society, and let's let them live Munchkinville-like in a little deaf community out by the airport.
Yeah. So what is it about Toledo you want to talk about tonight?
Well, the Democrats, who we sometimes have Democrats on the air here, Chris and Rob.
Right.
They went ahead and had a golf outing. As these big shot high rollers will do, you know, you pay $50, $100, you get a golf, you have door prizes, and you get to eat. You know, a lot of charities, all kinds of places have these fundraisers.
Right.
Well, the Lucas County, that's where the Toledo is. The Lucas County Democrats said, "Hey, hi, let's have one of these golf fundraisers." So they did. And then they also got the general manager of a local strip club involved, and he went ahead and put strippers out to be the drink girls, and the drink girls are going ahead pulling their pants down on the tees.
I'm switching parties. I'm becoming a Democrat.
Dominic Montalto, the Democratic executive director, would not comment, but party chairman John Irish said he did not know the strippers were at the golf course. Lucas County Treasurer Wade Kapczewicz said he saw one woman lift her top and show her chest to a group of golfers. She then lowered her shorts.
Oh, yeah.
So she's standing out there
with
the county treasurer, and she pulled up her top, and then she went ahead and pulled down. What is it, like 2 in the afternoon on a public golf course in this broad state?
Blue balls in the blue state. I'm all for the blue state.
So now the Democrats are embarrassed, and they said they didn't know that there were going to be strippers. As they call them cart girls or drink girls. They drive around, you know, just they can be guys, too. They drive around on a golf cart, and they have a cooler full of beer or pop, and they say, hey, do you want a beer or pop?
Has the state Democratic leader, Chris Redfern, done anything about this? He was probably there.
When the word got out that these girls are strippers, it gave the party a black eye, said the clerk of courts.
It's a little late, but call them.
Every elected official out there was embarrassed. So the Democrats.
Why did you wait to the end
of
the show to bring this up? Because it's too late to call the state Democratic leader, Chris Redfern. He's probably in bed right now with one of them. No, he just got married, actually. But what?
Fifth time.
Why didn't you mention this at 10 when we started the show?
I mentioned it during show prep, during our meeting with our producer and our general manager and our district manager and our consultants, our New York City consultants.
Okay, well. That was the transmitter, just did that. Well, we're going to put a call into Chris, but he's not usually around this late.
He can't stay up and watch Letterman.
Yeah. We were going to talk about the possums next, the opossums.
The possums.
Yeah, but let's see if Jim gets hold of Chris.
It's Chris and Rob on WAIA.
You know Chris was at that golf outing, and I'd love to hear.
Well, he's from Port Clinton, which if you don't know your Ohio geography is what, 45 minutes, an hour outside of Toledo?
Not even. It's pretty close.
Depending on traffic because you got to take those little goofy roads.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the opossums here. About a decade ago, I bought this record for Rob and then we left it at my house and I just came across it. Rob saw this record by the opossums called Marsupial Eruptus. They're an old like an old alternative rock band. This is from 1989. Mark Neff on guitar, Marty Fletcher on guitar, Tom Dunham on bass, Randy Sabo on drums. From 1989. It's on a record label called Picnic Horn Records. They're from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And
I love the name Possums.
And Rob liked this band just because they were a jangly guitar-based band.
I like the name before I ever heard them.
He likes the name Possums.
I like the name Possums. I never heard the band, but they kind of fit the name.
Okay, well, look at that picture. Here's the Possums on the Chris and Rob Show. And do you want this record? Do you want it back?
Who will get fame?
When you build a campfire, be sure to pick a spot clear of overhanging branches, dry glass, or leaves. Keep the campfire small and surround it with rocks. Then, before you leave, be sure the fire is completely out. Drown it with water, stir it with a shovel, and then drown it again. Remember the words of Smokey the Bear. Translated, only you can prevent forest fires.
This is the Chris and Rob Show, and we got about 6 minutes to go. 513-749-1444. 749-1444. Check out the website at chriscomerradio.com.
Yeah, man. Chris, I know that you're very rude.
Yeah.
You're very insensitive.
I smell bad, too.
You're very careless.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you're as bad as this guy from Penn Hills, Pennsylvania.
Hey, by the way, what did you think of the Opossums?
I like the Opossums.
You want this record back?
Oh, man, I'll play that record.
I bought this record for you, but then you got rid of your turntable, and I just kept it.
No, I think you bought it for me. You listened to it and said, I love the Opossums, and you kept it for yourself.
They're from Ann Arbor, Michigan. They kind of remind me of Frank Allison and the Odd Sox. You remember them?
No, I don't remember Frank Allison and the Odd Sox.
They were also from Ann Arbor.
Oh, you're going to give it to me. It was...
Yeah.
$4 at a used record store 5, 6, 10 years ago.
Something like that.
Dude, they were wearing flannel before Nirvana.
Right. They were wearing flannel before Firehose was flying the flannel.
The drummer was wearing flannel. They all had like long, bushy hair that they didn't comb. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's the Possums. So this dude in Penn Hills, Pennsylvania, are you hip to this? Have you heard about this guy? He goes through the drive-thru.
What drive-thru?
We'll say... the Pennsylvania Jack in the Box.
Oh, so we're just saying some fast food drive-thru.
Yeah.
Okay.
The clerk didn't say please. The clerk didn't say thank you.
What, he just said, can I take your order? You want fries with that? Would you like a drink? That'll be $6.95. Please pull forward.
So dude punched her in the face.
Okay. Did she have it coming?
She didn't say please or thank you.
I do believe in politeness, but I also don't believe in violence.
I hate people when they're not polite.
Right.
He was unable to tell the cop why he punched the lady in the face. He said he remembered opening the drive-through window. So he pushed open the window. He could not remember if he punched the victim or not. I guess he just had a bad day. He turned himself in to the cops. He punched a 19-year-old girl in the face because she didn't say please or thank you at the drive-in. Then he turned himself in. You know what he told the cops?
What?
I have an anger management problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what the cops said. Oh, really? You punched a kid in the face because they didn't say please, and you're going to tell us you have an anger management problem. I think it's a pretty obvious statement.
Yeah.
I think it's a very obvious statement. It's Chris and Rob, W-A-I-F, and, you know, we're firecracking like the 4th of July here. In just 3 minutes, it's going to be the birthday of America. And I tell you, redneck hillbilly, something. If you're around my house, today is the 3rd. You can go ahead and light your damn sparklers and your cherry bombs and your fireworks. Tomorrow is the 4th. You can do it then. If you're doing it right, you don't have any left over.
Right. I'm with you on that.
I don't want to hear fireworks on the 5th and the 6th, people.
I don't want to hear them in August or September, and I certainly don't want to hear them at Christmas time.
Oh, my gosh. You can do them tonight because most people are off work tomorrow, and I'm sure they've been, well, Chris, you've heard them like me. They've been popping all around us the whole broadcast.
Right, which is fine.
That's cool. It's the day before the 4th of July.
And tomorrow's the 4th of July, and we're supposed to celebrate independence and the freedom to blow things up.
John Adams said, go ahead and shoot bottle rockets at squirrels.
But if you're doing it on the 5th, if you get any left over on the 5th, you're lame. You people are lame if you have any left over, and you're even lamer if you blow them up.
People on the 5th and the 6th, I want silence. I don't want you scaring my dog. I don't want you keeping me awake. I want quiet. Too much noise.
Yeah.
So on the 5th and the 6th, you guys just shoot them all off on the 4th. How do you have leftover? How in the hell do you have leftover fireworks?
Now, coming up next on the radio here is Lee Harvey with the Outside Inside Jazz program. And you're monitoring this, aren't you, Lee? Yeah, Lee can hear me.
If Lee gets a brick of Black Cat firecrackers, the whole brick goes.
Right. Tell me something, Lee. On the jazz show tonight, are you going to be playing some patriotic, inspiring jazz? Your mic's not on, bro. You got to turn your mic on.
Okay. I got a lot of fireworks tonight. I got some hot music tonight.
You do? Do you have anything like where they do like America the Beautiful, but like with a swing beat?
Yeah. I got a big band piece dedicated to the Southern Route.
What's the Southern Route?
That's the title of the song.
Okay. Who's a by?
Michel Legrand and his big band.
He don't sound American.
Well, I can't say that over there, but so what?
He sounds like a Frenchie.
I don't know, man.
They got their own Independence Day in France. It's different than ours.
What do they call it?
Rob, do you know what they call it over there?
Bastille Day.
Yeah, he's right. They call it Bastille Day.
When is it celebrated?
When they stormed the jail, which is known as the Bastille, and it's actually July 14th.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Viva la France.
So you're going to do your Bastille Day show tonight.
Yeah, a little international flavor. You know what I mean?
Little international jazz tonight on the Outside Inside Jazz program with your host, Lee Harvey. One foot in the past, one foot in the future, and one foot up your ass. So stay tuned. In about 30 seconds, I'm going to throw it to Lee. Do we have any parting comments, Rob?
Happy birthday, America.
Right. And blow stuff up, but don't do it on the 5th or the 6th or the 7th, or we're going to kill you. You got anything to add to this, Lee Harvey?
No, man.
All right, I'm just going to let you take it for the rest of and go do your show thing then.
WAIF Cincinnati.
Okay, you okay with that, Lee? I love Lee's show. Everybody keep listening. Here you go.